Well, as we have read from Exodus chapter 11, God here is in the midst of the great act of fulfilling his promise to redeem his people from Egypt. And God, to deliver Israel from their bondage, is bringing upon Egypt the overflowing of his power, that his people might be let go. That overflowing power began in Exodus 7, where Moses and Aaron were in the presence of Pharaoh, and they cast the symbol of Egyptian power, the serpent, on the ground, signaling to Pharaoh the greatness of the God of Israel and how he reigned over even the power of Egypt. But as we know, and I'm sure we all know this story well, despite God all the way back in Exodus 7 showing his power to Pharaoh, Pharaoh's heart, Exodus 7:13, was hardened, and he would not listen to them as the Lord had said. And so at the first instance of God acting to free his people, Pharaoh, in the face of God's power and providence, hardened his heart and set the scene for a great escalation in the conflict between the God of Israel and Pharaoh, the greatest power that there was then in the world. And God himself was sovereign over that very conflict, saying in Exodus 7:4, I will lay my hand on Egypt and bring out my hosts, my people, the children of Israel, out of the land by great acts of judgment. The whole scene of the 10 plagues that came on Egypt was overseen and ordained by the sovereign living God, that he might show to the world his great acts of judgment. And this morning we'll consider really all of God's acts of judgment in the 10 plagues together. And just to rehearse them, we read what they were in Psalm 105, but these 10 judgments, these 10 great acts of God, were the turning first of water into blood, the plague of frogs, the plague of lice, the plague of flies, the death of livestock, the plague of boils, the plague of hail, the plague of locusts, the plague of darkness, and then finally, the plague of death. These are the mighty acts of judgment that God displayed before the whole world to deliver, to save his people. And as we just think again of these 10 plagues, they're so vivid, aren't they? They catch the imagination. Frogs bouncing all over the place. Flies buzzing everywhere. But it's important as we come this morning to consider the plagues that we don't just let our imaginations run wild, but that we fix ourselves on the theological meaning, the theological rationale for the plagues, and not just their outward majesty. Because God never executes his power in random ways. God never just puts on a light show for us. He's always acting in signs, teaching theological truths. And the great theological truth, the great reason behind these 10 plagues, is God saying to the world, I am sovereign over all the powers in this world, even over all the so-called gods of mighty Egypt. Numbers 33:4 tells us why we had the 10 plagues. On their gods, the Lord executed judgment. The 10 plagues tell us that God is sovereign over everything this world worships and looks to for blessing and satisfaction. And if you just run through the 10 plagues again, what they were, we see how God is judging Egypt and its gods. The first plague, the turning of the water of the Nile into blood, is a judgment on God, from God on Egypt worshipping the Nile as the source of its fertility and blessing. The second plague, the plague of frogs, and we'll see this again later, is a judgment on the fertility goddess Hekwet, who was represented in the form of a frog. The third plague, a judgment on the earth god Geb, as the very earth of Egypt is turned into lice and gnats. And on and on we could go. The theological impulse behind the plagues is God's judgment and sovereignty over everything Egypt worships. Every idol in the land of Egypt is brought crashing down as God executes his mighty acts of judgment. And we can see that even in the number of the plagues. Why 10? Egypt counts in a decimal system, and so the number 10 represents completeness, wholeness. And in 10 plagues, what God is saying is, I am judging the wholeness, the completeness of everything that you worship and look to as a god, as to a source of satisfaction. God is saying, I am completely overthrowing everything in your land. And why this complete destruction? Exodus 9:16. God said to Pharaoh, for this purpose I have raised you up, to show you my power, so that my name may be proclaimed in all the earth. The impulse behind these plagues, to show God's sovereignty over all the so-called gods of this world, so that my name may be proclaimed in all the earth. God is here freeing his people. He is here judging Egypt. But above all, he is bringing glory to his own sovereign name. God sent these plagues on the world so that ultimately Pharaoh and we would confess, Exodus 9:29, the earth is the Lord's. And obviously, we gather here this morning with Britain itself under a plague, under the pandemic that is COVID-19. And as we are suffering, undergoing this, we have to ask ourselves, do we acknowledge that the earth is the Lord's? Do we acknowledge that God is sovereign in all these things? Or have we been brought, like Israel, under slavery in Egypt, just to be subject to the world's thinking, the way the world is looking at things? Well, if that is us, the theological explanation of these plagues here calls us to understand that today God is not passive. He is active. He is speaking to us through COVID-19. And I'd like us to really draw three main truths out of these 10 plagues that came upon Egypt, and hopefully they are relevant for us in our own day. Three things that we can hold on to while the pandemic rages around us. And we'll see first in these 10 plagues that God is a God of mercy. We'll see second in these 10 plagues that God is a God of judgment. And then we'll see finally that God is a God of salvation. Mercy, judgment, salvation. First then, the 10 plagues in Egypt show us that God is a God of mercy. And you might be thinking, well, that's an awfully strange thing to say. Surely the plagues speak of condemnation, they speak of judgment, they speak of God's anger and wrath. Well, yes, they do, and we'll see that. But they also speak loudly of God's mercy. Why do I say that? Because every plague is a call to the Egyptians to stop, to turn, and to repent. Every individual plague is a call to let God's people go. And God begins these calls gently. He doesn't begin the 10 plagues on Egypt with death. He begins with minor inconveniences, with having to dig for water, with having to deal with frogs hopping around all over the place. It's only after 9 prior warnings, coming in 3 cycles of 3, each one escalating, that we then get to the ultimate judgment of death. And each slow step up in judgment is a merciful call to Egypt to stop their madness, to repent and humble themselves before the living God. And we see this escalation in the impact of the plague on the Egyptian magicians. The magicians started off mimicking the first 2 judgments that came on Egypt, water into blood, multiplying frogs. But after the first 2 plagues, the magicians of Egypt can no longer even pretend to replicate what God is doing. When the earth is turned into lice and gnats, they can do nothing but confess, "This is the finger of God," Exodus 8. And by the 6th plague, the magicians are no longer even on the scene. Exodus 9, the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boils came on the magicians and all the Egyptians. Pharaoh's excuse for unbelief in mercy is taken away as the plagues increase in their severity. The escalating judgment is also seen in how Israel are eventually separated out from the plague. When we come to the 4th plague, we're told God's people will be spared. Exodus 8, "I will set a division between my people and your people." The latter plagues single out the Egyptians and spare the Israelites, again showing ever more clearly God's sovereignty and his escalation of what he is doing on Egypt. God's mercy is also evident in the clear warnings he gives all the way through these plagues, these judgments. Exodus 9, around the 5th plague, "If you refuse to let them go and still hold them, behold, the hand of the Lord will fall with a very severe plague upon your livestock." Pharaoh was plainly told that the cause of all this judgment is your own disobedience. Or after the 8th plague, "How long," Exodus 10, "will you refuse to humble yourself before me? If you refuse, behold, tomorrow I will bring locusts." God repeatedly in mercy tells Pharaoh the cause of judgment is his proud refusal to obey. And God's warnings, every one of them, always give an opportunity to repent. But in the midst of such mercy, such kindness, such patience, such long-suffering shown through these judgments, these plagues, how does Pharaoh respond? How does Pharaoh take this long-suffering that was shown towards him and all of Egypt? Well, he responds in 3 sad ways to this mercy. The first thing he does is offer partial obedience. Exodus 8, Pharaoh said, "Go, sacrifice to your God within the land." You can obey, but do you really need to leave Egypt? He offers partial compliance. Then he gives a bit more partial compliance. Pharaoh said to them, Exodus 10, "Go, serve the Lord your God." But which ones are to go? Okay, you can leave the land now. I'm giving a little bit more, but do you all need to go? And then there's a little bit more offered by Pharaoh in his partial obedience. "Go, serve the Lord," Exodus 10:34. "Your little ones also may go. Only let your flocks and your herds remain behind." Do your animals really need to go with you? And here is Pharaoh in the face of God's judgment, God's mercy, God's call to repent, playing around with God's commandments, trying to get away with as little as he possibly could, even while the judgment of God was raining down on him. Pharaoh messes with God's mercy by offering this partial obedience. Pharaoh also responds to God's mercy by trying to cheat the living God. Moses says, Exodus 8, only let Pharaoh not cheat again by not letting the people go to sacrifice. Many times through the plagues, Pharaoh promises to do as God asks. Only once the judgment is gone, he then says, no, I will not let your people go. Pharaoh takes God's mercy, offers partial obedience, tries to cheat God by saying yes and then doing no, and then he hardens his heart in the face of God's long-suffering. After the second plague, but when Pharaoh saw there was a respite, he hardened his heart. And it's such a frightening thing to read that in the face of God's mercy, in the face of the evident reality of the living God laying his hand upon Egypt, that in spite of all the evidence, Pharaoh hardens his heart against the living God. You know, he does this in spite of checking whether what God is saying is true. Exodus 9, Pharaoh sent, and behold, not one of the livestock of Israel was dead. He saw the evidence, but the heart of Pharaoh was hardened. He sees the reality of the long-suffering, merciful power of God, the reality of who the living God is, and yet he rejects and rebels what he plainly sees. And all of this forces us to come face to face with the question, how are we responding to God's merciful warnings, to God's long suffering in the days of COVID-19? We're in the middle of a plague, and that is a merciful warning to us about the uncertainty of life. And like every other warning, it is a call from God to flee from the wrath to come and to receive salvation in Jesus Christ. And faced with the days we live in, are we trying to offer God partial obedience? Keep us from what's going on and we'll love you a little bit better, but not completely? Are we making promises to God, keep us healthy and we'll serve you better, but when he does keep us healthy, we're not? Worst of all, are we standing out against the offers of God's mercy in the gospel? Are our hearts becoming hard that God is rich in mercy and calls us to confess our sins and to turn to Jesus Christ for salvation? May our hearts never become hard against the mercy and grace of God in Christ Jesus. Because if we despise the mercy of God in the face of his judgments abroad in the world, we will come to know the God of judgment. And that's our second point. God is merciful, but he is holy, he is pure, and he will not and cannot let sin go unpunished. And so the second lesson from these plagues on Egypt are that our God judges sin. He is a God of judgment. And we could say so much about how these plagues are a judgment on Egypt, but just three ways in which they are. The judgments, the 10 plagues, show that God is proportionate and just in his judgment. God's judgment is proportionate and just. If we cast our minds on the first two plagues, they strike at the gods of the Nile and the god of fertility, Hekwet. She, Hekwet, the goddess of fertility, became associated with birth, effectively the goddess of Egyptian midwives. And cast our minds back to Exodus 2, the male children of Israel are being killed by being thrown into the Nile. Who is assisting in all of this killing? It is the midwives of Egypt. And where does God then begin his judgment upon Egypt? 40 years later, he begins that judgment with the Nile and with the God of the midwives. God's judgment begins justly and proportionately at the exact point of Egypt's sins. Or again, consider the plague of the boils. Moses takes, in Exodus 9, soot from the kiln and stood before Pharaoh. Moses throws that soot from the kilns up in the air, and boils break out on Pharaoh and on all the land of Egypt. Now, how was Pharaoh oppressing God's people Israel? He was having them make bricks without straw. And here Moses takes the ashes from the brick kilns, the ashes from the very fires that were oppressing God's people, and they are turned, as they are thrown on Pharaoh, into his judgment. The judgment of God, the boils fall where the sin of Egypt was. And so the plagues tell us that God, when he judges proportionately to sin. And in our society, we can often struggle with this whole idea of God's judgment. But the plagues tell us God's judgment is always just, always in proportion to sin. Where Egypt sinned, there the judgment falls. And so whatever questions we have over God as a God who is just and a God who punishes sin, at the end of the day, in eternity, when all is revealed, we will say, Revelation 16, "You are just in these judgments, O Lord, O Holy One, who was and who are." And you know, we live pretty much in a culture of death, don't we? Our society devalues life in the womb, and our society devalues life in old age. And today we are faced with a plague of excess deaths. Perhaps God is speaking to our sins as a society. But while the plagues show that God's judgment is just, proportionate, they also show us that God's judgment is severe. Because what we have in these 10 plagues really amounts to a de-creation, a reversal of God's good creation account. God's judgment is so severe as to almost undo the very fabric of creation. Think back to Genesis 1. The first day of creation sees the separation of light from darkness. And yet, in the ninth plague, light is blotted out. The second day of creation sees the separation of water and land. Yet in the first of these plagues in Egypt, water is turned into blood, and to get water, they have to dig into the land, mixing what God separated. The third day of creation sees vegetation growing. But in the seventh and eighth plagues, the fruitfulness of the earth is destroyed by hail and locusts. The fourth day, God creates the sun and the moon. Again, the ninth plague extinguishes the light of the sun that God has placed in creation. The sixth day, God creates animal and human life. But the third through the sixth plagues strike humans and animals with disease, contrary to God's good creation. And then the final plague strikes humanity with death itself. In all of these plagues, God's good creation order is undone. It is reversed. God's judgment is an awful thing. It is as powerful as a de-creation. And it's no wonder that Pharaoh's advisors are brought to cry in the face of God's judgment. Exodus 10, "Do you not understand that Egypt is ruined?" These 10 plagues tell us that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, because our God in his judgment is a consuming fire. Egypt was brought to feel the severity of God's judgment. And we pray that it will not be, but it may well be that our land, at least economically in terms of the devastation of these days, is brought to feel the severity of God in his judgment. But as well as showing us God's judgment is just and God's judgment is severe, these 10 plagues point us forward to the final judgment of God. They tell us that a day is coming when God will judge all the earth in righteousness. And we know this because of how often Revelation picks up on the image of these 10 plagues. Just one example, the plague of hail is reenacted as the seventh vial is poured out on the earth in Revelation 16. Great hailstones, about 100 pounds each, fell from heaven on people, and they cursed God for the plague of the hail because the plague was severe. The judgment in Egypt points forward to the ultimate judgment of God. And the fundamental thing these plagues tell us about that final judgment is that rebellion against God always ultimately will result in eternal death. The plagues, the judgment of God in Egypt ended in death, showing that sin, rebellion against God ultimately leads to death, because death is the threatened judgment against sin. Exodus 2, in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Romans 6, the wages of sin is death. And Revelation 21:8, the ultimate judgment. But the cowardly, unbelieving, and so on, shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Eternal death is the ultimate, severe but proportionate judgment of God on sin. And the tenth, the final plague in striking down the firstborn, reminds us that the penalty of death is due to all sinners. And it tells us that penalty will come, rich or poor or whatever. God is no respecter of persons in his judgment. Every firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sits on the throne, even to the firstborn of the slave girl who is behind the handmaid. This plague reminds us that the proportionate, severe judgment of God will fall on every single one of us, unless we find the mercy of God. And the question these 10 judgments, especially the final judgment, puts to every one of us is, are we ready for the judgment day that will inevitably come? It is appointed, Hebrews 9, once for man to die, and after that, the judgment. And perhaps living in days of COVID-19 with increased mortality, we feel this. There is an inescapable day of judgment coming. But how can we face that day? Well, the God of mercy, the God of judgment, finally the God of salvation. And there is no way that we can face the day of judgment, the tenth plague of death, ourselves. We have sinned, we have come short of the glory of God, we are undone, we deserve all the plagues that came upon the Egyptians ourselves, because God is holy and we are sinners. But the wonderful thing is that the God of mercy and the God of judgment provides us with a way to escape that judgment. And we can see this if we step back and ask again, why these 10 plagues? Why is God executing his judgment upon Egypt? Well, so that he can set his people free. God's whole purpose is to redeem his people in the midst of judgment. Exodus 8:23, a literal translation is, I will set redemption between my people Israel and your people Egypt. God, through these judgments, is redeeming, saving, delivering a people from the judgment they themselves deserve. The Israelites in Egypt, they couldn't save themselves. They were bondages to sin. but God could. And in the midst of judgment, he is working out salvation. And this working out of salvation for Israel in the midst of the judgment of Egypt is a pointer to God's ultimate salvation. As the plagues point to God's judgment through death, so they also tell us that salvation will come, deliverance will come for God's people through the death of someone else. Because here in the 10th, the final plague, we have the death of the firstborn son. It is the death of the firstborn son, the judgment that falls on another, that secures the redemption, the freedom, the salvation of God's people, Israel. And as we read in Exodus 11 of the death of the firstborn, of course our minds go to the death of the greater firstborn, who has secured ultimate redemption and freedom for all who believe in him. This final plague, the judgment of death, reminds us that Jesus Christ, God's firstborn, has suffered the ultimate plague of death, taking on him all of God's judgment for us, for our sin, that through his death we might be delivered from the judgment, the wrath of God. As Jesus, the firstborn son, is judged, as the sword of divine justice cuts him off from the earth, we see that God is a God of salvation, that all who trust in Jesus Christ are delivered, redeemed, set free from the plague of death. And this wonderful truth of God's salvation in Jesus Christ, taking death upon himself that we might have life and be delivered from judgment, has at least two applications. And I think the first is for those of us who are saved, for those of us who have seen in the firstborn son who died on Calvary our redemption, our freedom from God's judgment. Do we delight in God's salvation as we should? Israel, God's Old Testament saved people, were told, Exodus 10, "Tell in the hearing of your son and of your grandson how I have dealt harshly with the Egyptians, what signs I have done, that you may know that I am the Lord." The plagues, God's redemption story for his own people, were to fill the conversation of Israel. As they were saved, freed from judgment, they were to tell this to their children in story. And we have the greater story, the greater judgment, the greater salvation than Israel had. Does it fill our speech? Does it give joy to our hearts? As we're living in uncertain days with COVID-19 all around us, what is on our lips? What is in our hearts? Fear, worry over the judgment and the plague, or God's redemption and salvation in Jesus Christ? Is that our comfort, our hope today? But if Christians should meditate and rejoice in these things, maybe there are some here who are not Christians. And this passage is a solemn warning, as is the pandemic we're living through today. This passage tells us that if we are in rebellion against God, that rebellion is a trajectory which is heading ultimately to death and to eternal death. But this passage is a wonderful reminder that as well as the God of judgment, God is the God of salvation. You see, some Egyptians, as well as Israel, were ultimately saved by the great God of salvation. At the end of the seventh plague, we read, "Then whoever feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh hurried his slaves and his livestock into the houses." In Pharaoh's house, because of what God was doing, some came to fear the living God. And at last, when Israel left Egypt, We read, a mixed multitude went up with them, Exodus 12. Though God was executing judgment, some of the Egyptians came to fear the living God and even to leave Egypt with his people Israel. And so if you are here without Christ, the great application of this passage is, know the reality of God's judgment, but know also the wonder of God's salvation. There is no need to remain under the judgment of God. Turn to the God of mercy, the God of salvation, the God whose firstborn son died, that any who trust in him might live and escape judgment forever. If you're outside of Christ this morning, trust in him. Look to Jesus Christ as the one who has died that we might live. And there we will find forgiveness for sin and find assurance that the judgment, the plague of death that we all deserve has been borne by Jesus Christ for us. May that be all of our hopes as we leave here this morning. Amen. May God bless to us his word.